Hello and welcome to the commentary for lesson 293, Proverbs 14. I apologize first of all because I did a reading. I posted a reading for this one a couple days ago, and I don't think I've ever posted a reading without posting the commentary at least the same night. Maybe not at exactly the same time, but at least the same evening. So if you've been confused or frustrated about that, I apologize. But I have been working on this, and I went a little too deep, and I kind of took off on a rabbit trail on a couple of these, and then I just have decided to back off on one of those. So I'm just going to read the few that stood out to me that I feel I should share with you. So verse 4 is the first one. It says, "Without oxen, a stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest." I liked that one because you can easily draw a parallel, oxen to children, a clean stable to a clean house, and a large harvest for life fulfillment and joy. So let me read it again. "Without oxen, a stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest." So, you know, I want a clean house. Sometimes I daydream about having a clean house, and won't it be great when the boys grow up and move out, and I won't have to clean so often, and my house, I'll clean it, and it'll actually stay clean, and won't that be great? But I have to remind myself that I would rather have a messy house. It's better. And be surrounded by loved ones than be lonely in a tidy house, right? So I just kind of made that parallel, and so I liked that comparison. And then verse 9, I liked this one. It says, "Fools make fun of guilt, but the godly acknowledge it and seek reconciliation." That's really just talking about a guilty conscience. And have you ever met anyone, or perhaps we used to, do wrong and not really feel bad about it, or do wrong and make excuses for it, feel like it's reasonable for us to do that because someone else wronged us, or a good example of that is maybe you stole from a company, but you didn't feel bad because it was a company, it wasn't a person. I've heard someone say this before, I would never steal from a person, but the company has a lot of money, so I just don't feel as bad, right? And so some people don't have that guilty feeling. Now, when we do wrong, if you're like me, sometimes I even get, like, I feel guilt in the pit of my stomach. I feel almost sick to my stomach if I do something I know is wrong. And so that's a guilty conscience, and that comes because, first of all, we're saved and we have the Holy Spirit, but also because we know the difference between right and wrong, and we want to lead a life that pleases God. And so we acknowledge that this is guilt, and we seek reconciliation. We acknowledge the guilt that we have. For whatever reason. But fools make fun of guilt. I wouldn't say right now they necessarily make fun of it, but they definitely make light of it, wouldn't you say? Okay, verse 13 is another one. "Laughter can conceal a heavy heart, but when the laughter ends, the grief remains." That is so true. And it reminded me of Robin Williams, who is a beloved American comedian and actor. And, you know, we fell in love with Robin Williams over his career. I remember when he started way back, I don't know, early 90s, late 80s, maybe, but even before then. I can't even remember when it started. But Mork and Mindy was a TV show that he started in. And it was so stupid, but so funny. And since that time, he's had us all laughing. He was in some great movies. He was an excellent actor. And, you know, on the surface, I'm sure he seemed pretty happy. He had money, he had success, he was funny. And So that reminds me of him. Laughter can conceal a heavy heart, but when the laughter ends, the grief remains. Underneath that facade that we saw, that the public saw of Robin Williams, was a lot of hurt. And he died in a very tragic way recently, and not too long ago, I don't know, maybe a year ago. And it was very sad, and it just should remind us that we all have hurt in our lives, and that don't try to realize that even though someone puts up a facade of happiness and lightheartedness and they're laughing all the time or they seem perfect, especially people that seem perfect and you just think, wow, I could never be like that. Just know that they're not either. Okay, that's a facade. And none of us is perfect. None of us is righteous. No, not one. So we all have hidden hurts. So just remember that when you're talking to people, that you never know what's going on in their lives, right? Okay, verse 15 says, only simpletons believe everything they're told. The prudent carefully consider their steps. Now, the New American Standard Version, instead of simpletons, they use the word naive. I think that's a better descriptive word for that. I have always been naive. I'm getting better the older I get, but that was something that I've always struggled with, especially when I was younger. I was in school. I remember walking through the halls in high school, and there was this particular boy that liked to pick on me, and I'm sure he was flirting, whatever, but he would point, as we passed each other in the hall one time, he pointed up to the roof in the hallway, and he said, Jamie, look, a bird. And I looked, and he thought that was so hilarious that every time he saw me, he would say, Jamie, look, a bird. And whatever. Yeah, I don't know why I looked, but anyways, naivete was definitely one of my traits. I'm getting better as I get older, like I said. And really, the second line of that, the prudent carefully consider their steps. That also resonated with me because I used to just jump into things full-fledged before really, really taking time to consider. Even if things are good and they seem like a good idea or it's what you want, it's not always the right thing. So you really have to step back and examine and pray about it and consider it from God's perspective. Okay, does it line up with your passion? Does it line up with where you naturally tend to go? Does it line up with the scripture? Does it seem like something that would honor God? And then, you know, pray about it. And you should get confirmation either way, but it should, you know, meet all of those requirements before you take it a step further. I'm getting better about that as I get older. I would say in the last 5 years, I've come a long way. So yes. And then verse 19, evil people will bow before good people. The wicked will bow at the gates of the godly. We do see that generally throughout scripture, and that seems to be consistent. It makes me think especially of the story of Joseph. You know, I'm going to assume if you're here in this study that you remember the story of Joseph, and that, you know, he started as the youngest or the second to youngest son of Jacob, and his brothers, all his older brothers, threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. Long story short, he ended up in Egypt working for Pharaoh, the king, as his right-hand man. So he became very powerful, and eventually his brothers came to Egypt and bowed down to him. So that does play out, and that's played out with other people in the Bible several times. So, you know, we don't bow today, so I can't imagine that evil people will bow before good people like here today in America, because we don't bow. That's not a custom. But back then it was a big deal. It was a sign of respect. It was, you know, a servant would bow to their master or Lord. And Lord, by the way, didn't always mean the Lord, our God and Savior, the one and only God. Lord was used as a general term back then for someone that they were humbling themselves before. And people were such good hosts back then, that even a stranger wandering through, a traveler, they would open up their home to them and they would treat them with great respect and they would bow to them and say, "My Lord, da 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 da." And it was really just a show of respect. But we know that people in biblical times also bowed to kings and to angels of the Lord and to Jesus. But the pagans, the other Canaanites in the land, or the Canaanites in the land from all different nations before it was conquered, they worshipped and bowed down to false gods and idols as well. So bowing was very customary back then. But it's interesting that when you think about it, when we think of bowing, we think about bowing before God. I do. Or bowing before the cross and taking your troubles to the cross, or what have you. But yes, evil people will end up bowing before good people. And why? Because God can work everything, even the bad things, for the good of those who love him. There's a scripture about that. I can't remember which one. I'm not going to look it up. But that's definitely true, and you see that play out in scripture time and time again. So, okay, yes, I want to read this note that I made, and that is, others see the power of God. This is back in antiquity, in biblical times. They see the power of God through the people of God in a way that cannot be denied, and end up bowing to them, either as a show of reverence or by actually turning away from their pagan false gods and deciding to follow the one true God of the Israelites. Okay, so that's all I'm going to say for that verse. That's really it for Proverbs 14. And I guess this is a shorter lesson, but I hope you all have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon.